Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, let's get into Around the NFL, which is brought to you by Quick Assist. Got extra game day tickets? Turn them into cash with Quick Assist. Download Quick Assist from your app store today to find H-Town fans looking for seats. That's Quick Assist, Q-U-I-C-K-A-S-Y-S-T. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. All right, so when it comes to the AFC South, there are a few quarterbacks there of note. Clearly, C.J. Stroud is the cream of the crop. Who was supposed to be a very good quarterback in this division, who has not really panned out quite that way, even though they've given a whole bunch of money, is Trevor Lawrence. Now, that is a guy who they're supposed to be kind of banking their future on, especially. They even changed for one day only the name of their stadium from Everbank Field to Trevor Bank Field.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. That's how in they are.
Update on that.
And I know, yeah, exactly. I have a feeling that that's not going to happen again anytime soon.
Yeah.
They're also sick behind Trevor Lawrence because in their narrow loss to the Eagles last week, he suffered a shoulder injury. And, you know, they're 2-7. They're in a really bad way, and they're facing off against the Minnesota Vikings this week. And so him playing and then also playing closer to the height of his ability would be something that's absolutely necessary for them to do anything in that game. Well, bad news for him. He was limited in practice Wednesday. However, Ian Rappaport has said that he is unlikely to suit up when they take on Minnesota this weekend. So that's bad news.
And it could be longer term. Now, some have said surgery, but that's been dispelled.
So Jay Gruden, former NFL coach, tweeted out that his sources said that Trevor was going to have surgery. He said, "Damn, get well. Hope the sources are wrong," to which Ian Rappaport himself also said, "No surgery scheduled." No. There are several options scheduled yet, right? Several options, immediate and down the road. That's one of them, surgery, but he's considered day-to-day with the left shoulder. He considers these options. Trevor Lawrence will likely not play. Mac Jones is set to start for
him. But nevertheless, surgery seems to be on the table, and long-term seems to definitely be on the table, long-term being maybe, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever it may be. They're 2-7, man.
2-7?
They're 2-7.
Yeah, it feels like they're out of the running here, right? Like
they're done.
It's over.
Yeah, they're done.
The only team that, and I mean, we've talked about Al, you know, Doug Peterson, and feels like he's lost the respect of his group or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Only team that really provides even like a semblance of contention to the Texans at the top of this division is the Colts. And we'll see ultimately how that plays out. But yeah, there you go. If you were looking at the Jags, or if you have Trevor Lawrence on your fantasy team, that's probably where this news ultimately is most effective. Know that he is unlikely to play this weekend. Some other news around the NFL. Y'all remember that one play that Saquon Barkley made this week?
Oh, who can forget?
Right? One of the most athletic things that I personally have seen done on an NFL football field. Saquon Barkley juking, spinning, and then ultimately going.
Yeah, it was almost like he was on something.
Well, that's what the NFL thought. NFL had that same exact thought, where as Saquon Barkley, who was on the podcast Air It Out with AJ Green and Justin Pugh, said, quote, "I got it right away. I got drug tested right after the game."
Deserved to get drug tested after that.
You shouldn't even complain.
You on something.
Like, what were you smoking that you thought that was something that you should do in the middle of a football game?
And this is a surprise that you got drug tested?
Right.
That's a crackhead dude, man.
Exactly, right? Like, it's a joke that we will frequently kind of levy, like, oh, man, he about to get drug tested today.
Yeah.
Really happened.
And he did.
Really and truly. They were like, nah, Saquon, we got to make sure that he is not doping or just, you know, on dope. Like, those are all possibilities. He said, quote, about the move, though, I ain't trying to do that again, to be honest with you. It's not a safe play. I can't really give this a name because I have no intention to ever do that again. If it happens again, it happens. First of all, what are you doing?
Yeah.
That if it happens again, happens, it's going to give us hope that it's going to happen again. But also, yes, you are very, I'm so happy that he is like being smart about this. Like, hey, I did that one time, but that was very stupid.
I don't want him to be again. Smart about it.
You want him to keep doing that?
Like, if you can do that, what else can you do? Was it the, I think it was DeAndre Hopkins, that game that we talked about last week where he went whoop, loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop, loop-de-loop against the cow. I think he got drug tested after that game.
it's so funny because, like, in theory, these are supposed to be random. We understand.
Yeah.
Why is it that you play real good? Yeah. Not even, like, real good. Like, just you do something spectacular.
Make a good play.
Yeah. A good play, and they're like, right. Yeah, pee in a cup for me.
Yeah, you gotta, we gotta check this.
Like, is that usually the indicator of drug usage? Is like, oh, all of a sudden, you doing spin moves.
I think it's fair. Like, no, there's no way you ain't out here doing that.
You gotta be on something.
That's like a crackhead doing the crate challenge, man.
Yes.
Ain't no way. Speaking of quarterback injuries, one that we've kind of been watching in some ways because it'll affect your Texans, not this week, but the week after. Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott is dealing with the partial avulsion of his right hamstring. Those of you that are in the medical field will understand what that is.
Yeah.
Those of us who are not need this. It means that part of the tendon has pulled away from the bone. So, yes, hamstring falling off the bone, in essence, to make it probably oversimplified. Mm-hmm. He has not been put on injured reserve yet, and that's because apparently he's seeking multiple...
Brother.
Yeah.
Going to Germany?
Yeah, I don't know if he's going that far, but maybe he will. But he's seeking second opinions on this. If he is put on IR, obviously he'll miss 4 weeks. But it seems like the likelihood or the belief is that he's likely to be out longer than 4 weeks.
I mean, his hamstring's not on the bone.
That's correct.
I mean, where is this? How is this an issue that he's going to be able to play anytime soon? No, your hammy's off the bone, you know, like a well-smoked rib. You know,
I always think turkey leg. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe it's a video I've seen of like people with these turkey legs where they put it and then just
fall off the bone. Yeah,
not to make light of an injury.
You don't play because that's very, very bad.
Yeah. Some other things around the NFL. Chris Olave. So there was a lot of talk, obviously, Michael Thomas coming at Derek Carr because of the hospital ball that he threw out there for Chris Olave that ultimately ended up with him getting hit by Carolina Panthers safety Xavier Woods and getting his second concussion of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing specialists about that's concussions, consulting with multiple set specialists about that, you know, because, again, second concussion, it's kind of interesting because we haven't talked a lot about this one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a lot of consternation, a lot of thought about Tua Tagovailoa and his concussions. And sometimes it's like, yo, there's other dudes picking
up
these concussions. Chris Olave, one of them. And you go, it almost makes you think, why don't we kind of have that same fear that it seems like we have around Tua for guys like Chris Olave, who, you know, he said, quote, thank God, after always keep your faith up, never let people tell you what you can and can't do. But, you know, like he's dealing with two concussions in the span of, you know, 9 weeks.
I'm actually thinking right now, since you mentioned that, about linemen. Like, linemen get them all the time and then don't even let you know.
Yeah.
You know, like, they go back to the huddle and they're just sort of, like, knocking the cobwebs out. They probably get, you know, how many linemen on both sides of the ball, but I'm thinking more offensive linemen, have had multiple concussions already this year.
Right, and that's in the modern era. That makes me even think back to, like, further back where we
Mike
were a little
Webster
bit less.
Yeah. Jim Otto and those guys that had
100%.
15, 18 20, you know, verified concussions.
That's wild. Yeah. I do appreciate, though, that Chris Olave apparently wants to go through this. According to Darren Rizzi, who is the interim head coach for those Saints, he said, quote, he wants to go thoroughly through the process and making sure that he's making the best decision for Chris, removing football from that equation. What's the best decision for the person? And it does sound good to hear that the players are, you know, being a little bit, you know, smarter with their health. In that way, as smart as you can be while playing what I like to call the car crash sport affectionately. Yeah. But yeah, Chris Olave dealing with multiple concussions, it really makes you think, is really the big takeaway for me.
Oh, all the time. I mean, to me, that's one of the things that is really, you know, we kind of had a little fun with Dak Prescott. The concussion thing to me is just terrifying. And it really always, to me, comes back to the family. It has to be someone really, really close to you, because the locker room is going to be sympathetic to a degree, but there's going to be also this unspoken pressure of playing, you know, and that's where it has to come back to the family and saying, look, you know, not this year,
yeah,
you know, or whatever it may be.
You mentioned Dak Prescott again about, you know, the idea that his hamstring has come off of the tendon has come off the bone.
Mm-hmm.
979 said that must be what happened to Christian Harris. His calf just fell off the bone.
What's the update on Christian Harris?
Figure, you got any updates?
The update is the update, and we'll let you know when we get an update.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Fig. Yeah, we just don't know. Although, actually, we did get a little bit of information. We talked about this yesterday about Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle kind of being maybe the first one in the media to give us something that it feels like a hard date that we could probably hold on to. He said his expectation is that Week 14, which is their bye week, so week 15 would be when you actually see him, if Jonathan Alexander's assumption is correct. Now, I'm not saying assumption as to say that he is just, you know, spitballing, but I also don't want to hold him to a level of account where he is like as if it's a report. You know what I mean? Like, this is just kind of what he is working with what he kind of has to himself.
Yeah.
CBS Sports. They also did midterm grades, not midterm awards like we did yesterday, but midterm grades. And for this Texans team, they come out with...
Look, this is a B.
A B,
The Texans got a B. This is why it was interesting to me. And we were talking in the first segment about an hour ago about Tier 1 versus Tier 2. They're a Tier 2 team right now, if we're being honest. Maybe that can change Sunday night. But what is interesting to me is in these grades, you know, at the very top, you know who is there, you know, Detroit, Kansas City, etc. But to me, they have the Chargers and the Steelers with an A- and an A- respectively. Like, the Chargers and Steelers are graded higher than the Texans, and frankly, I have no problem with that.
That's right, right. You know? They, you know, in the blurb that's written for it, they kind of allude to the injuries to Nico Collins, Diggs affected the passing game. Joe Mixon missed a lot of time early in the season. So they alluded to those things, obviously, and they talk about how the AFC South will be run away with. But, and I'll read verbatim, are the Texans as good as the other AFC contenders? The Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter pairing has been tremendous and could push Houston through the second half of the year. So, they're asking the questions that I think we all kind of have, which is, the Texans will get through the AFC South, but will they actually be where they want to be, which is being amongst the top of the AFC?
Yeah, and as part of that, you know, I get updates from various places like you do. You know, I'm subscribed to different services and stuff. So accompanying that was Sportsline talking about the Texans and the midseason. And what they said about the Texans to me was like one of those, dang, you know? I was just kind of like shaking my head moment.
Yeah.
And it's true. It said the AFC South crown is going to be the Texans, but only by default. CJ Stroud is enduring more clunkers than expected. It's a battered setup, and they can thank their pitiful division for a future playoff ticket. Well, that hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, that hurts.
And that was intentional, because your diction there, dear writer, right? Yeah. Your word choice there.
Yeah.
Was
a clunker.
Intentionally hurtful.
Pitiful, right? Division.
I need you to understand, whoever wrote that, I don't appreciate your intentional disrespect there. Mm-hmm. You're not wrong, but hey, man, you can say it nicer.
By the way, you're not wrong.
You can say it nicer.
Yeah.
And then, per Jeremy Fowler, Bengals' newly acquired running back, Khalil Herbert, will play tonight. On Thursday Night Football, it's Bengals versus Ravens.
Pretty good game.
It'll be a fun game.
Guess where I'm going to be watching that?
At home on your 85-inch. Okay. You know, I walked myself into it.
Oh, you ain't going to watch yourself?
No, I did that already. I watched
myself. He already watched the latest podcast. But yeah, I'm super intrigued by this game. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I like this one. This is going to be intriguing. Well, first of all, entertaining because of Ravens. But the Cincinnati Bengals, I mean, you know, they're in a place where make or break kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Joe Burrow is in a way where he feels like they could just rattle off wins continuing. They're 4-5.
Mr. Excitement.
they need to get some wins, and this will go a long way if they can beat the Baltimore Ravens in giving them confidence that they can continue to win those games and, like the Texans, prove that they are in that higher class of the AFC.
It's kind of a tipping point game for the Bengals, isn't it? We talked about that with the Texans. Is this or is it not? Because then, you know, they got Chargers Steelers right after this.
And as we both know. Whew, A minus grades on the first half of their season.
Yeah, A minus on both those guys.
There you go. That's Around the NFL here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Thursday. And on any Thursday that he has the availability, we like to talk to our guy, Andy Kalu, former Texan. And we'll get his insight as we gear up for Lions-Texans Sunday Night Football. We'll do that next.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, on this Thursday as we gear up for Texans at Lions. And as we do on Thursdays, we turn to the Sports Radio 610 hotline and talk to our guy, ND Kalu. ND, what's happening, man?
I am not answering any football questions until John answers a question I have.
You're
too young for this one, Reggie. That's okay. The only reason I'm asking you. All right, John, I just rewatched Blood In, Blood Out. It's been so long, so I'm going to ask you, Shawshank Redemption or Blood In, Blood Out?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm so biased towards Shawshank. I'm sorry. I get it. I love it. It's awesome. But Shawshank is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I agree. That's why I threw it at you. I forgot how good Blood In, Blood Out was because the accents were so horrible and almost derogatory. But the story was pretty good.
So you watched that?
We can get to football. You know what? I don't know if it's my old age as I'm nearing getting close to 50, but I'm rewatching all these old-ass movies I watched growing up in San Antonio.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, Shawshank was that prison they was in. That was taped in Mansfield, Ohio. So it's like a haunted prison. I actually been to this haunted prison before.
So you been to prison?
What are you doing? Technically, did. Technically, yes. I walked through it.
Technically, yes. Oh, man. No, that's a good question, but it's got to be Shawshank, man. Got to be Shawshank.
Okay, I'm okay with you.
Wait, Andy, you big movie guy?
You know what? Yeah, I'm a big waste time guy. When I have a couple of hours, I'll pop in a movie. But I went through a phase, Reggie, when I was in Philadelphia playing for the Eagles. Like, you know, my days were done by 4 or 5 o'clock. So I just watched any and every jailhouse gangster movie, classic gangster movies from like the 30s. I just kind of got into that. Miller's Crossing. I'm sure half of your listeners are like, what the hell is he talking about? I really got into movies, and you'll appreciate this since you were in Dallas. The show Dallas, Reggie, I got hooked on.
Oh, really? Oh,
you weren't alone.
I was hooked on that when I was in Philly, watching all the reruns.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, that's interesting. All right, we'll have to find a way to incorporate that into our
video. Since we're not quite ready to get into the Texans, are you going to be the next head coach of the Rice Owls?
I'm not, but you know what? I'm going to put it out there. If they know for him, James Casey will be the next head coach.
Oh, right? What a great call that is.
If they know what's good for him.
That's a great call.
If they want my $5 a month, if they want my $5 donation a month, then James Casey will be the head coach.
Oh, that's a great one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see if we can make some things happen. I'm not me. I don't have any power around here. But we'll see if Lopez can do something in that regard. Now, leading up to this Lions game, I think yesterday it was kind of interesting. C.J. Stroud was kind of asked about, you know, he talked quite a bit, and he was asked on, like, what he needs to work on with himself. And this answer was so fascinating, saying that he would say he would have more fun. Like, how did that answer kind of hit you when he, you know, I think a lot of people were expecting more of an analytical X's and O's, maybe check down, something like that. The notion that, no, I just need to have more fun out there.
It just goes to show that how wise this young man is. I mean, this is a guy, every time I hear him speak, I get a chance to talk to him, Reggie. I just feel like, man, like he must hang around a bunch of old souls because he's wise. And he's right. We get so caught up, as we should, in the wins, the losses, the stats. How are we playing? How are we performing? You forget to have fun. And for him to realize that at such an early age, as far as being in his second year in the NFL, I like that answer. Because it's so easy to say, oh, I need to be more accurate on this route, or I need to release the ball a little bit quicker since my freaking offensive line isn't blocking. But to just go out there and say, man, I just need to have more fun. When it's all said and done, it's still a game. It's still a child's game. So if you're not having fun, then what the heck are you doing out there? Now, the play needs to be better. They need to clean some things up, but it all starts with having fun on the field. I'm okay with that.
Does that make you think that maybe he was starting to get to a place where he was pressing too much, and that's where the idea of, hey, man, just come back to being a game and have fun?
100%. I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm getting in his head, but I think you nailed it. Like, if that's your answer, if you're on a 6-3 team and a reporter asks you, what do you need to do? And he says, I need to have more fun. I think that you just nailed it. He was probably pressing. He was overthinking things. He didn't have the short memory after a bad play. He was dwelling on the negative. Yeah, I think that's the conclusion you come to.
Well, you just laid it out. You know, it might have been pressing, might have had the short memory, you know, might have been this or that. I mean, there's a reason for that, and it's been the biggest talking point around this team for a couple of weeks now, or if not more, and that's the offensive line. They know, right? I mean, you one of the great things that, you know, I love talking with you about is you take us into the locker room. I mean, they're not going to be, you know, pointing fingers, but they know that they have to fix things at the offensive line, and it's got to be more than just a tweak, right?
No, absolutely. 8 sacks, and you're talking about one of the best quarterbacks in the game, an up-and-coming quarterback. I think I almost called him David Carr once during the game because I thought he was David Carr with how many times he was getting sacked. Like, they were giving up way too many one-on-one battles where they were just losing, and that's why he was getting sacked. It wasn't just the stunts. It wasn't just the blitz where you just think, oh, you know what, he forgot to protect the A-gap because the linebacker did a nice job showing blitz or faking the blitz, I should say. So, no, this was just one-on-one battles, and that's bad because I've played against offensive lines that weren't the greatest in the NFL, but they had a great quarterback, and there's something intangible, like they just stepped their game up. It's kind of hard for me to explain. I don't have the words for it, but we've played against I've played against offensive line where you don't really know any of the guys, but because of very good leaders back there under center, they just block a little bit better, and you're almost getting the opposite here, and you would expect more when you're protecting a guy like C.J. Stroud.
Andy, you play D-line as a defensive line guy. Like, how tough is it when you play against a offensive line like this one that the Lions are coming in addition to having a quarterback who just stays on schedule, gets the ball out when he's supposed to, and seemingly always makes the right decision? Like, how tough is that? What do you do against that?
You know, it's tough, but you don't do anything different. You don't do anything different mainly because of the quarterback. So let's talk about the offensive line. I mean, you're facing a good group, not just good individuals, but a good group that has some all-pro type talent at different positions, especially at tackle. You get up for that. Like Will Anderson, if healthy, he's getting up for that. Danielle Hunter, he's getting up for that challenge. But you don't do anything different. The only time I would say you really change up your pass rush, Reggie, is if you're playing against a Lamar Jackson, a Josh Allen, where you have to overemphasize not giving up the rushing lanes during your rush. But Jared Goff is having a nice season, but no, they should be licking their chops. They should be salivating with the thoughts and ideas of getting after him.
I'm getting back to the C.J. Stroud and protection issue, because my other point I wanted to hear from you about was, can Nico Collins be that big of a impact just in terms of being able to get rid of the ball in time?
Yeah, I think so, John. I just don't know if these other, because when I think of, okay, you need to get rid of the ball, you know, quickly, I think of more of that little slot receiver, the Tank Dell type receiver, mm-hmm. with the medium to short route. So when I think of Nico Collins, I mean, he could do it all. I mean, he's your number one wide receiver, even when Diggs was healthy. But I think of the big explosive play where you need a little bit more time in the pocket. So yeah, I was a little surprised and concerned when he wasn't able to get the ball out quickly and emphasize getting the ball to the Tank Dells, to the Mechies, mm-hmm. on those short to medium routes. My thought is, are you going to be able to utilize the talents and explosiveness of a Nico Collins if you can't stay in the pocket for less than 2.5 seconds?
Right.
And when we're talking to our guy, former Houston Texan, N.D. Kalu, here on Sports Radio 610. And N.D., we asked kind of like the what's the feel of the short week? What's the feel of this longer kind of bye week, or like mini bye that you're dealing with? Like, as a player, how do you kind of approach it? Like, what's the general feel of it?
The feel after a bad loss, it's long. Like, you want to hurry up and get back on the field. You want to get that nasty taste out of your mouth. You almost want a short week after, you know, losing the way they did to the Jets. But at the same time, you get a chance to get some guys healthier. You're never healthy. You know, there's an old saying in the NFL locker room, the last time I was 100% was when I was in the eighth grade. So, you know, guys aren't going to be 100%, but the extra time with a smart coach like D'Amico knows when to take his foot off the gas, you're going to get, like Joe Mixon. I mean, Joe Mixon's come back. He's in full stride, but, you know, he's fighting through some pain. So that extra time is going to get him, which you need to be a little more fresh. So, but at the same time, because I've been through it where you lose a game like that, you're like, oh, man, I don't want to wait 10 days or whatever it may be. Let's get back on the field and get this taste out of our mouth.
So what about, like, you know, best case scenario here? We all know what the Lions are and how good they are. But, you know, I was talking earlier about this could be a tipping point game. I mean, if they get, you know, worked again, especially on the offensive line, people are going to be going nuts. But if they can somehow, some way, get this thing turned around, and even if it's ugly and beating the Lions, what does that do for this squad?
Oh, that's huge. Because right now, like you said, this is a tipping point. This is who are the Texans? Are they the team that can go to the New York Jets and lose to a bad NFL team? Or are they still what we think they are, a top-tier team that could play with anybody? Because just a couple of weeks ago, and I still think that, you know, there wasn't a team, and I believe I said it on y'all's great show, where, you know, they gotten to the point where there's not a team that you don't expect them to win. Does that mean that they're the best team in the NFL? But no. The way they were playing a few weeks ago, your thought is, you don't care if it's the Chiefs, you don't care if it's the Lions, you don't care if it's the Ravens, you go into the game expecting to win. So, with the way they look to get the Jets, you know, you start to have a little bit of doubt there. You went against Detroit, and not just the players, but the locker room, the coaching staff, everybody in the building. You start to feel like, oh, yeah, we are that top-tier team.
Mm-hmm. By the way, checks in the mail. now, you know, maybe been accused of being a little negative in some ways, especially leading into this game against a team that is very good in the Detroit Lions. What, for you, are you most, like, excited or encouraged about with this Texans team headed into this game?
Encourage Joe Mixon. And I'm a guy, and I'll admit when I'm wrong, and I'm not ready to say I'm wrong yet, but I've always undervalued the running back position. I've always thought there are so many great, talented physical freaks in the NFL. If you have a decent offensive line, you really don't need to spend money or too much time bringing in a can't-miss running back. But Joe Mixon has really showed me, like, no, there's a difference. You know, there's a difference. And I think with whatever issues you're having with pass blocking, you can really rely more on the run until they figure out how to step back, how to block these pass rushers, how not to give up 6, 7, 8 sacks against C.J. Stroud. So I'm excited about putting the game, putting the offense on the shoulders of Joe Mixon. Now let's see what happens with that.
You know, it's funny, you just mentioned that. Like, there's a big debate across the country, really. Analysts, national analysts, these three knuckleheads that you're talking to right now, fans.
Figgy ain't no knucklehead. Okay,
two of us are knuckleheads. Yeah. About, like, you know, the protection issue. We just talked about it in the last segment, recently. You know, is it C.J. Stroud should make the protection calls? Juice Scruggs? Or is it Bobby Slowick's, you know, maybe adjusting protection calls? What are you seeing just in terms of, like, figuring it out with the protection issues?
Well, as far as calls from the television, I can't tell. Like, I've always known it to be the center. The center and the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be times where the quarterback – he'll say, like, you know, 94, he's coming. He's the guy. He's the guy that you designate the middle linebacker, and that affects the protection. Then there are times where you have that seasoned veteran playing center, and he's the one making those calls. But again, that's not the only issue, because when you have guys coming free, that's absolutely the issue, John. But there's also times where an offensive lineman was picked up and taken to the lap of C.J. Stroud, and they knew who was coming. They just couldn't do anything with it. So, you know, that's where it gets tough and concerning, because it's not just one thing. I wish it was – part of me wishes it was blitzers or stunts coming free, because you can easily fix that. You know, during the week of practice, you know what, if it's a tech stunt and the end comes down first, then we want the guard to pick them up no matter what. Or there are times where you should just say, we don't care what stunt they're running, you're blocking this outside rusher, even if it comes down to the A-gap. Like, you could fix that. But when you're just losing due to technique and getting manhandled, you know, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, let me see if I can get you in trouble with D'Amico Ryans like the rest of us. what was your feeling when we got to the end of Tuesday and the Texans had not made a trade to add to this team?
I wasn't really expecting them to. I was hoping for Joe Platino, the offensive guard for Cleveland. Like, he's the way I looked at it, he's a little long in the tooth. He's a little bit older, but this is one of the best guards in the game. To get him out of that cesspool called Cleveland, I felt like it was going to kind of reignite him, get him excited to play for a couple more years. And, you know, he's an instant starter, you know, with or without the playbook. I was kind of hoping for that move, but I wasn't expecting it. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't like the Dallas Cowboy fans were all upset that Jerry Jones didn't make any bigger moves than outside of bringing in that wide receiver from Carolina. I just wasn't expecting that from the Texans, because I feel like they can still win with what they have on the roster if they clean some things up, especially with that offensive line group.
Here you go. There's a guy, N.D. Kalu, noted movie watcher and fantastic fantastic human all the way around. N.D., we always appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time. And now I'm going to start giving you homework. We're going to just, like,
I'm on the James Casey bandwagon, by the way. That was a great call.
Oh, let's do it. I just hope, you know, the decision makers, sometimes they feel like the former players don't know what the heck they're talking about. And I'm a little biased when it comes to Casey, because I like him as a person. But, I mean, this dude's like a Mensa, loves football. He's going to work harder than anybody. He doesn't mind dealing with this crap, the NIL and the portal. So, you know, it's just a – yeah, if they don't do this, then I don't know what the hell they're doing.
and he's one of your own, right? Rice graduate, yeah. What is it, 08, 09?
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of our own. Like, he's not going to use Rice as a stepping stone. Like, most of these guys, they go to Rice hoping to turn it. And I don't mind if you leave it in a better, if you leave the program in a better. But I think he's a lifer. You know, he's a guy that he wants to be at Rice. He wants his kids to go to Rice. It means more than just a paycheck to him.
There you go. N.D. Kalu, we appreciate you, my man. Have a wonderful day.
All right, brother. Let's talk to y'all soon.
Right, yes, sir. Yes, sir. There he is. N.D. Kalu, former Texan. Movie aficionado, real estate mogul. What other things can we add to his
real estate mogul? Did you say
accomplishments?
That?
I did.
Yeah,
but it's worth saying twice.
Yeah,
there you go. Appreciate him joining us every Thursday. Help get us ready for the weekend that is coming up next. Let's get into what's popping, including the latest offensive lineman added to this Texas team. Plus, Rockets smoking the Spurs. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. First of all, Zach Thomas, offensive tackle, previously played with the Patriots, was added to the practice squad by your Texans. This follows, like, I think he's the third offensive lineman that they've added to the practice squad in as many days. And it's kind of interesting because, like, trade deadline, obviously no move has happened. And I think that was one of the big things that people were looking for. But the moves that they have made have been for linemen, but obviously on the fringes to give them more options.
Isn't this telling you kind of like they're sort of spitballing, might be a little bit crass, but they're just like, all right, let's try everything we can. Let's give everybody a shot to try to get an improvement here, because they got a lot of guys on the offensive linemen. On the offensive line that are going to have their shots, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you give yourself, look at a whole bunch of guys, understanding that that is a position of interest, for lack of a better way of putting it. But I don't know that, you know, Zach Thomas is going to be that guy. I couldn't even find any, like, any film of him. The only film I saw of him was on Extra Points, right? And it's understandable with a guy that got cut by the Patriots as well. At the very least, it's very evident that Nick Caserio and this Texans team is just trying to keep their eye on the possibility of adding bodies and maybe finding something if you get lucky in that regard. Zach Thomas added to the practice squad. That's another one of those kind of linemen, and that they've worked guys out this week as well. Like they're obviously keeping an eye on this, but it feels like I don't know that any of those will ultimately be something that makes a big difference on the field for your Texans.
See, that's the thing. Like, can they? I mean, guys that are just sort of, I mean, again, it sounds bad, but, you know, scrap heap kind of guys.
No,
That are just trying to latch on.
And you say that with all due respect, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like NFL scrap heap kind of guys.
Yes, and that's the thing is, I always think about this as, you know, the guys that you're like, oh, man, he's terrible, whatever. It's like that. All of that comes inherent with the caveat being, for this level.
Yeah, he's an NFL player.
Because, yeah.
He's just at the bottom tier of it. And I've used that word far too much today. He's on the bottom end of it. But maybe they do, you know, dial up something. What it tells me is I just looked it up. They got 6 offensive linemen on the practice squad.
How many is the practice squad now? Is it like 17?
It's a lot. Yeah, I don't have the exact number.
That's still a lot of them.
That's a lot of linemen. So they're just like, let's try this.
Just throw put guys up there, get them a chance to see them out there on the practice field to see what you have.
Yeah, when in doubt, zip tie it. You know.
All right, what are you trying to do?
Duct tape. They're just trying to find something.
Was that a shot? Are you taking shots around a building?
No.
Okay.
Oh. Stay tuned for confessions.
Oh, no, don't do that. That's nasty work. Also nasty work, but not for your Rockets, for the Spurs. The Rockets absolutely smoked the San Antonio Spurs.
63-38 at the half or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I was fighting some things personally that made it so that the actual scores in those moments were not as evident to me. But yeah, 63-38, you were spot on at the half. 127-100 was the final. 30-plus points in every single quarter. The Rockets just put it together, including Fred VanVleet, who had easily his best game of the season. Season highs in points, assists, rebounds, field goals made. And when I say field goals made, he only missed one shot, which was a three-pointer.
It was 10 for 11, whatever it was. Whatever the number was, he only missed one and was absolutely spectacular. But he wasn't alone. I mean, they got, obviously, you beat the Spurs like that.
Like a drum.
They've got a lot of production from a lot of places, played good defense for long stretches. And of course, VanVleet was at the front of it, but Şengün had another decent game against Wemby, by the way, you know, or at least contending with Wemby.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Green was fine, more than fine. I thought the player of the game outside of VanVleet was Tari Eason.
Tari Eason's have been having a lot of those a lot of games that could be designated as such.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of those guys that is, you know, he's easily in your 7, as you know, you're trying to find, hey, what's the rotation of guys that you feel really confident in? Obviously, Amen Thompson is that guy that is, you know, easily 6th man, that, you know, if anybody's missing in the starting lineup, he slides in and you feel comfortable. Tari Eason is that next guy.
Well, just real quick, I don't think I've ever asked you this. What are your thoughts on the plus minus stat that a lot of people throw out there?
It is a useful tool at times to kind of give you a feeling of what generally happened when that player was on the floor.
I think it can be a little overrated.
Oh, it can be a lot overrated, yeah, okay. In fact. But I think that it is something that gives you a little bit of an indication of some things, right? Not a lot of things, but it's just like, huh, okay, that's an interesting thing.
Because Tari Eason was plus 23.
Good things happen while he was on the floor. And I mean, to be fair, when it comes to positives in the double digits, you had 8 players on the plus minus with double digit positives, mm-hmm. in that way. So, yeah, man, shout out to the Rockets against a team in the San Antonio Spurs that just weren't good. Obviously, without the head man, as Greg Popovich is dealing with some health issues that have taken him away from the team. And, you know, Jeremy Sochan is going to miss 20 to 25 games, mm-hmm. although he still, even with that hurt hand, still found it within himself to tweet out a picture of himself dealing with things and tweet bleep Houston, which, hey, man, right back at you, buddy.
Yeah.
Right back at you, buddy.
Right back
at you. And hold this with you as the Rockets get a win in the third and 12 days against the Spurs. 127-100. A really fun game. They shot really well from the field. Like really great from from 2-point land. The 3-point game, obviously, they're still not going to be shooting all that great there, but really a lot of shots at the rim and at a high level. This is a team that is doing the things that they're supposed to do well at this moment. 5-3. And next up, they have the Thunder on Friday, tomorrow, in Oklahoma City. Somebody said, what do you guys think about Jabari Smith's play? It's been easy for him to kind of fade. Mm-hmm. In some ways, and mm-hmm. I do wonder if you'll get to a point where Tari Eason maybe usurps
him.
We're
getting to that point.
But it's still early. Like, 10 games is usually a really good milestone to mm-hmm. start taking some stock of what's happening, and so I'm trying to give it a little bit of grace and obviously put more eyeballs on it. I'd be lying if I told you that I've been watching these games with the same vigor and fervor that someone like our guy Adam Spillane clearly has, being at all these games mm-hmm. and all these contests. But that's a fair place to watch, right? Seeing what Jabari Smith is doing and what he's bringing. He's one of those guys, though, that you trust him. You feel confident about him, especially like as a guy that can kind of play that five when you need him to. And I know Jock Landale played in this one.
He had a damn good game.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be the guy that tries to knock down somebody's good game. I wonder how much of that was just like everybody was good because the Spurs were bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, it feels like this Rockets team is built real nicely, where you have a lot of different pieces that are playing pretty well, and it gives Ime Udoka a lot of optionality.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of optionality early, and I think that's the thing that can make this team really dangerous, is if you continue to have Tari Eason giving you some, Fred VanVleet from times playing, giving you a good things. Obviously, Jalen Green being kind of like potential all-star level kind of play. Mm-hmm. Shangoon, obviously, foundational piece. Amen Thompson. Like, when you start naming all these guys, it gives you options where on any given night, you should be able to find 5 of those guys late in the game that are really playing well.
Best thing a coach can have is like, let's put this guy in with confidence. Let's make this change with confidence.
Okay.
And they got a lot of guys that can do that.
Well, that's the confidence that the Rockets have, a 5-3 level confidence right now. They'll face off against an ultimately a very confident team, the undefeated in the West, Oklahoma City Thunder in Oklahoma City. That'll be a fun test to see what this early season Rockets team is really about. Other things around, or what's popping. I wanted to get to this audio. I was listening to Area 45. That is our show at night with Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton. They do a fantastic job in what they do, and I was making sure to keep up with what the fellas were doing yesterday. They had quite a few guests, including John Heyman. And John Heyman obviously covers baseball at large. This was him weighing in on the Bregman of it all with the Astros.
Bregman to the Yankees, question mark. Bregman's a fit for both New York teams. I think Houston's pretty likely for Bregman. I mean, they are talking at this point. The general manager of the Astros, Dana Brown, basically he's very optimistic about that yesterday. So I'm going to take him at his word. He's optimistic. Does that mean it's done or close to done? Not necessarily. I think they have a good chance. I think he'd like to stay there. I don't think he's like Altuve where he has to stay there. But I think he definitely would like to stay there. So I do think that Houston has a good chance to end up with Alex Bregman, outstanding player. And look at Matt Chapman got 6-151. I think we got to start there for Bregman. I think that's going to be the baseline, the floor, whatever you want to call it, that or higher for Bregman.
And that seems to be the consensus now. Like Bregman, I think trending towards staying with the Astros. but it's going to start at 6 years and $150 million. And I don't think it's going to go over 6 years. And that's my one worry, is there are going to be teams out there, you know, a lot of traction right now with the Blue Jays. Maybe making a run for Bregman, but they're in the hunt. You know, I felt the same way when I heard Dana Brown. I felt, all right, you know, maybe this is going to happen.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is just all hopium for me.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. I'm okay with getting high on the hopium right now.
Yeah.
Like, because it just would mean so much to this team. I know that, you know, some people will look at it and say, you know, you have an opportunity to kind of retool after it. But I'm like, how much are you having to retool losing Bregman? Because he exists as so much. Or so foundational, so important to what this Astros team is.
Something in conjunction with that has been making the rounds is the Astros apparently considering trading Ryan Pressly.
Yeah.
And so does that factor in? Is that a direct factor to what's happening with Bregman?
I mean, Dana Brown has talked about the idea that, you know, when it comes to these players that are on the roster, they have to consider the opportunity to bring back younger talent and more of the talent, right? Almost breaking one good player into a couple of them that you now have on your roster that are able to help. Ryan Pressly obviously exists as that. A little bit older, but
35.
Closing caliber player.
Mm-hmm. Not the closer.
Not the closer here, and that's what makes him expendable, right? You have a closer in Josh Hader, no matter how much how you feel about that. Like, we don't have to get into that particular, but he's an expendable guy, and there are teams out there that absolutely would need a closer. How much would you actually get back for him?
Well, he's got a no-trade clause, too.
So, yeah, you'd have to work with him to find a spot that is suitable, but I feel like...
And he's pretty damn expensive.
If you're a closer guy, 15? Though, if you're a closer and you've been in a place where you have not been able to close, which is very apparent that he's just not going to get that shot here... I imagine that he might be willing to move on and find a place where he can have that role fully to himself and actually exist in that. Yeah,
I think you could tell it just in his body language at various points last year. He was doing his job, but he's a closer. He's won World Series as a closer. I think some team might be able to do it, but it's going to have to be up to him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they actually get an opportunity to send him somewhere. And I'm still on the lookout for the possibility of Dana Brown also using some of these other players that maybe possibly... Like, Fromber keeps coming up as a possible a guy that you can kind of move on from as you have a lot of young pitching, starting pitching. But we'll see. We'll continue to watch that space. One more thing before we go. I thought you would find this interesting. Nick Nurse confirmed that Joel Embiid will play Tuesday versus the New York Knicks, which is in three games. So all of a sudden, he's healthy enough. Now that three-game suspension came down for Joel Embiid pushing that
columnist. We just talked about that.
And all of a sudden,
he
would be healthy right now. So go ahead and start that suspension, and he'll play in three
exactly.
days.
We just talked about that.
So that fantastic. Don't you love how that works? All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a Thursday. And coming up next, most guys spoke at the podium yesterday, the head coach of this team, D'Amico, and the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. There were some really interesting things. I kind of want to get your opinion on that. We'll do that next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.